my good. It's more. It's a lot more than words on that screen. It's a truth that we live by. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, this is the final Sunday of September. The month of September we designated as a special emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And it has been a great month. Absolutely awesome. We've had 20 people. If my count is right, around 20 people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. 9 adults, 5 children, 6 youth. Is that right? I don't know. Do my math, somebody. Help me. And I give God all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Amen. Last Wednesday night, 6 young people. They just had a major outpouring at the close of the service. 6 young people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, Matt, this may sound funny what I'm about to say, but it's just what happened. Matt gave him a choice. Matt's our youth pastor. And he gave him a choice. He said, we're going to stay and we're going to pray. And he said, but if you don't want to stay, you don't have to. He said, but we're going to pray. And if you don't want to, you can go downstairs and have nachos and play games. And about nobody left. They all had prayer. And then after a little bit, some of them left. But out of those that stayed, 6 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I just give God the glory. I'm telling you, whenever young people are given a choice between food and fun or just stay and be filled with the Spirit, I just think that's amazing. And I believe that all of our youth are going to be filled. I believe all of our adults will be filled. I believe all of our children will be filled. Praise God. It's been an awesome month. And I can tell you for a fact that all of those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit this month will never be the same. Never be the same. And I'm going to talk to you about what makes the difference. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? What really makes the difference? And this morning, my title of my message is, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's not my word. That's the word of the Lord. He has made us a promise that in these last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I can't wait to see. And I know that it is already happening because according to the scripture, it started on the day of Pentecost. It started on that day. But before I get to my message, there is a couple of things. The Lord has put in my heart to speak to you just very, I'm not going to say quickly. I can't promise quickly. But I feel like it is a very important thing. I want to welcome those of you that might be visiting with us today. We're glad you came to worship with us today. And we believe God's going to touch your life. A lot of times people ask me a question. And last night as I was finishing praying and the Lord really spoke this to my heart. And we need to know where we're at as far as the times and the place. Where are we at? Where are we at in the world? Where are we at as a nation? Where are we at? But most importantly, where are we at in this church? And this is what I really believe. I'm going to speak to you what the Holy Spirit gave me. He said, you're on the threshold of the greatest time in history. There's never been a greater time in the history of the church than right now, except for the time maybe that Jesus himself was walking on the earth and then that early church. But this time is like no other. Those of you that have been in the faith for a number of years, you know what I'm talking about. We've never seen a time like this. This is different. And so what is the next question most people say is, what is next? And of course, they're wanting to know, is it like, you know, Bible prophecy and things that are going to happen? But I can tell you what is next. You say, well, how do you know? Everybody else can't seem to agree on it. Well, because I'm not going to tell you an event. I'm going to tell you a happening, something that is immediate that I believe the Holy Spirit is bringing to the earth right now. You know, tonight is the night before the blood moon. This will be the blood moon. It's late tonight. I don't know. It's sometime between now and early tomorrow morning. A lot of people are very stirred about that. They believe that great things are going to be happening in the earth. And no one can say that it won't. No one can say that nothing's going to happen. I believe a lot's going to happen, but what happens next, I don't know. But this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me last night. Whatever is next is going to accomplish 2 things. The first thing that is going to happen is it's going to reveal the truth about who you are and who I am in Christ. This is a time of revelation. You say, well, what does that mean? I mean, it's going to decide. This is an hour where we're going to see who stands with the Lord And who doesn't? It is a revealing time. And because it is a revealing time, it will also be a separating time. You say, well, what does that mean? Because Jesus said in the last days there would come a falling away, that the love of many would grow cold. And so what we're going to see very soon, if not immediately, I believe that whatever events take place next, it's going to reveal who really serves, loves, sold out to God completely, who is going to be faithful to the end, who is going to stand faithful with God. You know, some people don't think faithfulness is a big deal. I beg to differ. It's the faithful that are going to enter in. It's the faithful that are going to overcome. Your faithfulness does matter. And your faithful testimony that Christ is Lord, Jesus is Lord, is going to be really important in the coming days. And those of you that are too cowardly, and I don't mean to sound harsh this morning, but those of you that are too cowardly and ashamed to admit that you're a Christian, you need today, before you leave, to receive the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that will give you the power to change that confession. That's what this is about. That's what the Holy Spirit is about, and that's a lot of my message today. Those who stand with Jesus will stand in boldness and courage like they have never known. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah rising up on the inside of us. This is the hour we roar. This is the hour. We have been too timid. We have sat back. We've hung back to see what others would do. But this is the hour God is going to test you on your own. God is going to put you in situations where you stand, and you will either stand or you won't. You're not going to be in a crowd of a majority that is going to say something. You're going to have to stand up and say, I stand with the Lord. I stand with the Word of God. I stand with the Bible. And even if you're persecuted for it, you have the willingness and the courage to do it. And if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, I'm not sure I've got that courage, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to tell you that what you need to have the courage is the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's one of the most important things that the Holy Spirit will do in your life. When Emma came up here today, I don't know how old is Emma? 9 years old. And she stood up here and she said, you know, I got it. You know, you don't have to be real articulate about it. You just know when you've received it. If you have to ask someone if you've received the Holy Spirit, you've not. Because I'm telling you, it's powerful when it happens. It is so powerful and so wonderful and so great and so awesome. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Power is an important word there. Well, it's not in that, but it is in the Scripture. The difference that it makes. Listen to what the words of Jesus. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in our life? In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 and verse 8, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What did Jesus say they would receive when they received the Holy Spirit? He said power. Power. He said that's the difference. Now, power is a broad word. Wouldn't you agree? It's such a broad word. It can mean so many things. All over the world, in every nation, every tribe, every people group, there is a struggle to see who has the power. I mean, if you walk into anywhere, you can walk into your office tomorrow morning, and if you're new to your job, it isn't going to be taking you very long to figure out who's got the power in that place. We all recognize it. We all see it. We know. So power is a big deal to human beings. But let me tell you what God in His Word says about the power of man. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, this is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Let me say it again. This is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God is saying it's not man's might. It is not man's power. It is the power of God. It is the power and the might of His Spirit that matters. And that's what matters in the hour that we're in. Amen. The leaders of this world have used their might and their power to exert their will and their way in the earth. And the result overall is a chaotic mess. Wouldn't you have to agree?
But God's will and God's way is through the power of his Spirit. Now, in the New Testament, there are a couple of different words that are used for the word power. And the first time that we hear about the power of God being given to men, think about it just a minute what we're saying. The power of God is given to human beings. The power of God can be given to human beings. We say it so much and we talk like we've heard it, and maybe you have heard this all your life. But stop and think about this morning. It is possible for you to receive the power of God. The first time that Jesus spoke of it, it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power." Everybody say power. Power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. When you received Christ, you received power. But that word power in the Greek is different than the power that was given at Pentecost. This word power here is a Greek word, exousia. And exousia here translates to the word authority. Exousia means authority. It's that kind of power. So what he was saying is, when you accept Christ, he gave his power to those who believe. He gave them power to become the sons of God. He gave them the authority to do that. So it means they're no longer a slave to sin. Pastor just mentioned that. We're no longer a slave to our sin. We're no longer a slave to Satan. Can you say amen? But we have the authority given to us to possess a new authority, a faith that we can face temptations and oppositions, and we can overcome as a child of God. We are authorized. Say, I'm authorized. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm authorized. You know what that means? You've been authorized to be a child of God because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. There's an authority that comes with it. That's the kind of power that happens at salvation. We receive the power of authority in Jesus' name. We are a child of God and we can proclaim it. And we do not walk as the world, and we don't have to let the devil be in charge anymore. Can you say amen? Can you say praise God? I'm no longer. Man, this morning when we were down here praising God, and when we sing in the part, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, I began to think about who's in this house. And I thought, oh God, this house is full of testimony. This house is full of testimonies of people who have been set free, healed, delivered. Woo! When I think of his goodness. And that didn't happen to you because you decided to be good. It happened to you because God is good. God is good. We weren't good. We can never be good enough to have that authority. But he's given us the power to be called the son of God, a child of God. That's a great authority. And that's the kind of power it's talking about. But the authority is not all the same. In the word power doesn't always mean authority. The disciples of Jesus had received the authority to be called the sons of God. They had received the exousia, the authority power. But Jesus said, you need another kind of power that will come from the Holy Spirit. And then he says, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Did you see that? That's in Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power. Now this power has a different meaning. He says, you've received the authority to be a child of God, but he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, he said, you're going to be given the dunamis power. Dunamis is a root word that we use. It's where we get the word dynamo. Isn't there a team in Houston named the Dynamos? That's a power. That means a power team. Hallelujah. Power. Great. Awesome. Kick the ball. Kick it with your head. Don't touch it with your hands or something like that. Dynamo is where we get the word dynamic. Dynamic is where we get the word dynamite. And here the word power doesn't translate just authority. It means forceful, explosive impact. You see, after that Jesus had been resurrected, and he gives this word to his disciples, and he says, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. He said, don't leave. And what he was saying was, he said, there's another power that is coming. You see, the disciples in those days after the resurrection, they believed, they were born of the Spirit of God, but they were still in hiding. They had very little impact on Jerusalem. But after the day of Pentecost, listen to this. After the day of Pentecost, they were changed. They took over the city. Overall, the city had not been changed before the day of Pentecost. But on that day, but all that changed. And as soon as the believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, that dunamis power, that forceful, explosive impact hit the city. And immediately people began to come from all over the city. Not a few, a thousands. Thousands came when they heard this powerful thing that happened. Hey, you say, I don't even understand that happened. I don't either. I don't know how they could have been praying. 120 people could have made a sound that was so great that the whole city heard it. But they did. But it's not because it was 120 people. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power. That's the only reason that thousands came running. And they came. And they 3,000 were converted that day. And they, and the Spirit had been poured out. The power, the dunamis power had been poured out. Now I want to tell you just a second the difference between authority and power. Because every believer, we've already said, every believer has authority. You've got the authority of his name. You can use his name. But not everybody in the house, it doesn't. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, you don't have the dunamis power yet. That's not a put down, that's an invitation. That's me saying to you today, don't leave here without it. But there's a difference between authority and power. On Thursday night, we went over to the Pasadena Police Department, and they were having a citywide prayer gathering for all of law enforcement and all of first responders. And it was great. There was hundreds of people that came. The mayor and most all of the city council, the chief of police, and it was an incredible time of gathering everybody together. And when they introduced our chief of police, it happened to be a guy I graduated with at South Houston High School, Mike Thaler. Mike was always, I didn't know Mike real well. I do know he was in Honor Society. He was a super smart guy and a super nice guy. And all I can tell, it seems to be the same. But when the man introduced him, he said, this is Mike Thaler, our chief of police, and he's a Christian, and he's coming up to talk to you for a few minutes. And when he took the podium, it felt almost like a pulpit, honestly. It was just the Spirit of God was really on that place. You say, how can that be? Because where the Spirit of God is, anything can happen. It changes the way people sing. So anyway, when he took the podium, he said, I am a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. And I thought, hallelujah. That's awesome coming from a city official. It's awesome coming from somebody that is in charge of all of the law enforcement in our city. It makes a difference to have that person that believes in Jesus and says, I'm not ashamed. Well, I looked at all the crowd, and the crowd was full of all kinds of law enforcement from different ones. The guy behind me was in uniform, was from the Port of Houston, and some of them were from LaPorte, and some of them were from Deer Park, and so it was a conglomeration. The firemen were there. A lot of EMT people were there, and they all had on their uniforms. And you know, when we look at somebody in uniform, we understand their position, don't we? It identifies them. When the people graduated, when those men and women graduated from the police academy, they were authorized to enforce the law. They had been given that authority to do that. And the other night as we're standing there, they had the authority and they had the uniform that identified them as such, but they were not walking in anything of power. But had there been a problem there that night, which there wasn't, thank the Lord. But we would have seen them gone from just their position of authority to a position of power. Because it's like this, and you can see an officer standing on the street, and I've had this happen to me, you have too. But I've seen an officer standing on the street and something happens, and he's got on the uniform and he's got the authority. He's there to enforce the laws. He's there to control a crowd. He's there to bring order to a situation. And whenever there's when they're doing road work or something like that. And I want to tell you, when that officer walks out there and raises his hand like this and blows a whistle in your face, you stop. Because he's gone from just being the authority and he's been given the authority, he's authorized to do it, he's gone from authority to power. He's showing his power. He is demonstrating what he's been given the power to do. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They went from just having identification as a follower of Christ to people that had the power to lift up the name of Jesus in a way that the world had never seen. When Peter stood up to preach that day, he preached the resurrection. And he preached it like he had never preached it before. And the Bible says 3,000 of them were saved that day. 3,000 were added to the church. And that was the same Peter that just a few days before had been in hiding.
You want to know what makes the difference? I'm telling you, one of the major differences with the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he'll give you a boldness. Understand something. Boldness doesn't mean to be harsh. Boldness does not necessarily mean to be real aggressive or make people feel. Boldness is just simply what it is. Boldness just says, I stand in the, and I'm not afraid, and I have courage to stand in my conviction. And that's what happened. They took, it says, Peter stood up with the 11. And when he stood up, it says that they all stood together on that day because people came around and said, what's going on here? What does this mean? And they wanted, some of them were asking and genuinely wanted to know, what's the commotion? What is this? We hear all these people speaking in a different tongue. What is this about? And Peter stood up boldly with the 11. These that had been in hiding, these that had been afraid, now they're not. Why? Because they've been filled with a dunamis power, the forceful, explosive power of the that has impact of the Holy Spirit. They stood up and began to proclaim it. It changes your whole life. The Holy Spirit will change you completely. And so as he began to proclaim this, and the people were saying, oh, they're drunk. Look at them. He said, well, why did they think they were drunk? Because they appeared to be under the influence. I'm not going to ask who in the house has ever been drunk on alcohol. But I will tell you this. It's the same type of thing that happens when somebody is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you stagger. You know why? Because it's a power greater than you. It's a power that is greater than you, and you stagger. I can remember when I was 13 years old, I had gone to a youth camp over in Louisiana, and I couldn't wait to go on that camp because my house was in complete chaos. My parents were fighting and arguing every single day, and they were on the verge of divorce, and I was just overwhelmed by the atmosphere in my home. And so I couldn't wait to get packed up, and I couldn't wait to get on that bus and forget all that. And I didn't know what God had in store for me, but you know, God knows your need. And so I went to the camp, and it was the best camp I ever went to as a kid. There was such a presence of God. There was such a power of God on that camp, the whole camp. Everything. And I remember that there was one particular night. It was one of the last nights we were there. And I had been in the sanctuary, and we had been praising God. It was just like, oh, I mean, just so awesome. And I was just praising God, and I just got lost. I lost track of time. I lost track. And that's weird for a 13-year-old, honestly. But I did. I was just praising God, and I could hear people around me singing and praising God. And it got and so after a while, I mean, I was so under the influence. And I remember that when I opened my eyes, there was no one in the place. And it scared me for just a minute because they turned the lights out, and I didn't even know it. And I really thought that the house was full of people praising God because I heard them. So I've come to believe that what I was hearing more than likely was probably just the angels. You know, see, because God knew that I was a completely broken girl. And so in a moment that you need him, believe me, he shows up. And so you can say, well, I don't believe that he did. Well, I don't care if you don't believe it. I know what I heard, and so it's okay with me. And then, you know, that's the way the disciples had to be on that day. We don't understand what's happening to you. Well, he just said, well, that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so I'm just having this experience in God. And I am so overwhelmed with the joy that I am just staggering. And I'll never forget, it was foggy that night. And they had this little walk bridge that went over a little inlet. There was a lake, and then there was this little inlet, and this little bridge went over it. It was real foggy, and some of them were still playing stuff. I think they'd had food or something. I don't even know what happened. I missed it, so I don't know. But anyway, I knew I needed to get back to my cabin, and I was thinking, what? Nobody's missed me? But I remember staggering on that bridge, just under the power of God, just so strong. And it was just like, I was like drunk. And I remember I got back and it was late. And I remember I crawled in my bed and I just laid there in the bed and just weeping. And God was just pouring his love into me and healing me. and restoring me. Because see, God knows our steps and God knows what we've been through, but God knows what's ahead of us too. And God knew I had to have a fresh oil of the Holy Spirit or I wasn't going to make it. When I got home, I realized what God had done. Because I had left and the terrible things were in chaos. But when I got home, my parents actually told me they had filed for divorce and it was over. But I want to tell you, ordinarily something, words like that would have broken me and it would have broken my heart. And I would have been so devastated. But because I had been filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. The first time I was filled, I was 7 years old. But this was a fresh infilling of His Spirit. And I want to tell you, if it's been a long time since you've had a fresh infilling, let Him fill you back up. Because only God knows what you're going to face tomorrow. Only God knows what you need. And I will tell you, He held me. He kept me. When I was in that broken place, He filled me with His Spirit. And that's what He will do for you too. You need this power of the Holy Spirit. You need Him to live not just an overcoming life. You see, the way I see it is that exousa power that comes in that gives us the authority. It causes us to, that is for us. That is to make us the sons and the daughters of God. But when you get the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, that is so that you take what you have and you give it out to others. It causes you to have an impact. It causes you to change things in your world. How many of you, if you could, you would change things in your world right now? Your personal world, your personal life. Well, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. It is not by your might. It is not by your power, but it is by the Spirit of God. You need His power. He's promised that He's going to pour out this power on all flesh. Acts 2:16 says, "In this is that which was spoken. This is what Peter told them. He said, it will come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And then it goes on to say something about us. Did you know you're in the Bible? Yes, you are. Listen to this. "For the promise is unto you and to your children." And here's us. "And to all that are afar off." We were 2,000 years coming. From the day this happened until the present, it's been about 2,000 years. And yet God saw us and He says, "I make this promise to you today. I make it to your children, but I make it to all those that are afar off. And as many as the Lord our God shall call." When God called you to follow Him, He was calling you again because He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. I'm struggling this morning to deliver this message. Those of you that know me know that I am. And I don't know entirely what it is about. I just feel the Spirit of God wants to do something more than me just talk. And during the praise and worship time, I believe the Lord showed me, thank you. I believe the Lord showed me what it is. And this is difficult for me to do. But I'm going to do it. And I'm going to ask you to bear with us. I need all of my children to come up here. My sons and my daughter. And my other children, Mikey and Lauren. I need all of my adult children up here. Brandon's gone to get Mikey. Please join me up here on the platform. They didn't know I was going to do this. I didn't know I was going to do this. And I'm just asking you to be patient just a moment. How many know that God puts people in families? And we don't get to choose that. We don't get to choose it. But is Mikey, where is Mikey? He's not. Okay. His sister's ill, so he had to leave. It's okay. The Lord spoke to me during the praise and worship about my children. And I need to say this to you. A lot of people don't know you. If you don't know what it is, maybe to be in a pastor, maybe some of you do. Maybe you are a PK. And it's a great life. I'm going to tell you that. It is a great privilege to be able to be in a ministry family. But there are stresses that come with it. And all my children are grown now, and they all have their own families and their own homes. And I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of their answering the call of God that is on their life. But as your mother, I see that my children are at a breaking point. And I need to tell you about that, because Dad and I have some experience in that. When you were really little, babies, and whenever y'all were just really little, Dad and I had just started out in ministry. Jay started pastoring this church when he was 25. We were really young, and we had Lindsay and we had Brandon at the time. Justin came a few years later, not much later, but a little bit later. And in those early years, and when you were little, Dad and I hit the wall more than once, and you know it. There was breaking points. And I will tell you that if you're going to follow God, you will hit breaking points in your life. And it just depends on how you respond to the breaking as to whether you go through and you make it, honestly. And so I want to just tell you that there were times when we were going through breaking points that we took it out on them. We didn't have patience. And we've asked them many times, just forgive us, please forgive us. And it wasn't all bad. I'm not standing up here and saying like it was every day or all day, but my kids have been through stuff too. I know everybody can say that about your kids. And so when Dad and I would hit those breaking points, this is what I have to tell you. Dad and I did not know what to do except just get before God and just say, God, help us. Because we did not have answers. And what Dad and I had to do was regularly be filled with the Spirit fresh. Let a fresh anointing. Honey, could you join me up here? A fresh anointing of God's Spirit. And then every time, without fail, when we hit a part where we thought we just should just stop and we should just quit and we should just walk away and we should just give it to somebody else because we knew that anybody could be doing it better than what we were doing it. But we would go to the altar and we'd say, Lord, are you releasing us? And every time he would say, no, we've pastored this church now 32 years. Never pastored another church. And in those 32 years, we had to get the grace of God over and over and over. And what would happen is we'd go and God wouldn't release us. And so we would say, well, then God, you're going to have to help us with a new level of your Spirit. You're going to have to give us a new grace, the strength and the desire to keep going because we don't have it. And what I sense so strong, you know, all my children that you see up here, they're all involved in ministry with us. And they've answered the call of God that is on their life. But I sense, as their mother, I sense my children breaking. And I know I don't mean to sound like I know, but I do know the remedy. And I know the remedy for your broken heart. And I know the remedy for the hard places that you're facing right now. And the remedy is what I'm preaching. It is to be filled with His Spirit. It is to allow a fresh oil of God. My children need a fresh oil. My children are tired, and this is the effect that it has. It just, it's just hard. And, you know, maybe your children, and I want, if your children are here with you today and your children are going through hard things, I want you to accept this word as well. I want you to take it for them. And I want you to apply the same prayer that I'm about to pray over my children. Because I know that you know what I'm saying. When your children break, you break. And I'm breaking over this. I I want to see my children fulfilled. I want to see joy. The enemy attacks them all the time. Lindsay stays constantly under physical attack. Brandon and Justin, they need the oil of the Holy Spirit. They need strength. And I'm asking you this morning, it's not because I'm trying to just focus on our children, and I don't ever do this, and you know it. But this church, because they're in a leadership role, I will need you to pray. I need you to pray that God break through every lie of the enemy, every torment, every fear, every doubt, until it breaks through. Because until this breaks, you see, whatever's covering you, it has an effect on you. And I'm asking for the oil of the Holy Spirit to come on my children today. And then I'm going to pray for your children. Because I don't want anybody leaving here today dry. I don't want anybody leaving here today without the oil being applied to them. But as leaders in this church, I'm asking you today, have some compassion and pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost will ignite a fresh fire in our family and will touch us and will heal and deliver and will put us in our right spot, in the right place, with the right heart and the right mind. And I'm asking today for the Holy Spirit to just be poured out, to be poured out on them. And I'm just asking, would you just give a minute and just pray with us today? Praise you, Lord, Father. Let's start with Lindsay. She's our oldest, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for healing in Lindsay's body. I ask you, Lord, to break the spirit of infirmity that continuously beats her down. Father, I pray that you give her fresh oil of the Holy Ghost, oh God, that you give her a new mind, a new heart, Lord, a new will, a new conviction, Lord, to serve you. Lord God, strength to raise her children, strength to raise these boys, Lord. God, that there would just be a love in her like she's never known. Heal every hurt. Heal every wound. Heal every fear and every doubt. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, fill her fresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Fill her fresh, oh God, today, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for Brandon this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are his Adonai and his Elohim. That God, you are his deliverer. You have delivered him. You have set him free. Lord, you have broken chains off of his life. You've healed his body. And today, Lord, he needs a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. He needs a fresh oil, Lord, that covers his mind, his will, his emotions, oh God. He needs a fresh love to be poured out on him, oh God, that he knows, Lord, that you love him. God, he's breaking. He is breaking. And Lord, I don't want my children to break down. I want my children to break through. I want him to break through. God, if we're going to continue to serve you, if we're going to continue to minister, oh God, we've got to have your grace. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. We've got to have that dunamis power. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, put love in his heart. Put humility in him, oh God. Lord, a fresh anointing to lead the worship. God, that there would be things that the devil would never be able to touch. That God, he would lift this church to a place of prayer and praise like never before. That God, there would be just a fresh anointing, Lord, that would break the yokes and break the chains and destroy bondage, Lord, as he sings. Lord, as he sings, the chains would fall off of people. Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, out of their bellies, Lord, let it flow rivers of living water, rivers of living water, rivers, Lord, hallelujah. Father, don't leave. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for Justin. God, I thank you that you've called him. I thank you there's an anointing on his life. I thank you that all of my children have been called. And Lord, I believe that you've given a special anointing to Justin to speak your word. God, that you can use him to prophesy and preach, Lord, your word and carry it to the ends of the earth. God, I pray for grace on Justin. I pray for the oil of the Holy Spirit, oh God, to flow from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, every wound, every hurt, everything, oh God. Deliver, I pray, in Jesus' name. You came, Lord, to set us all free. God, I pray, break in Jesus' name, all of us. God, if Calvary Chapel is going to go forward, you'll have to break us. Lord, we submit ourselves to you fresh today. Pour in a fresh anointing, oh God. Lord, let there be a love among my children, God, that is undeniable. God, let there be a peace. Let there be a joy. Oh, God, I pray. I pray, Lord, take them in the broken places that they are. God, I know they're tired. I know that they're bruised. I ask you, Lord, to restore. Restore in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Lauren. God, that she's a mighty woman of God. Lord, that you put your word in her mouth. You give her peace and joy. God, she was purposed for our family, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you brought her together. And I thank you, Lord, for Mikey, that you brought him into this family. And God, you're going to do a supernatural work. God, I believe that you're ordaining, let every healing part happen again, Lord, to Lauren. God, that you will heal her body, that you will heal her mind, you'll heal her soul and her spirit. God, that you would just heal every wound, everything that has hurt and fractured her, everything that has just broken her spirit in Jesus' name. I speak life and I speak health and I speak the power of the Holy Ghost right now. I speak, Lord God, that you would set her free from every hurt and everything that has happened. Lord God, I pray for a new mind and a new outlook in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for Mikey that, Lord, you would fill him with the Holy Ghost. And God, you, he's a mighty man of God. I thank you for his heart, how he loves his wife and he loves his boys. And Lord God, I thank you that you put a mind in him, Lord, to serve you. You called him out of darkness and into the light. And God, you positioned him in our family as well. And God, I give you praise and I give you glory that, Lord, you're doing what only you can. Lord, we cannot do this. We have tried and we don't have that ability. But Lord, by your spirit today, Lord, you are doing what only you can do. And Lord, I praise you for it. Lord, let my children love each other. Let them love each other. Let them love each other, Lord, with a real, true, sweet love. I give you praise, Lord. I give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for allowing a personal moment. You may say, well, you could have done that at home. We do this at home. We have done this before at home. But today, I felt like it was because of the leadership with the church that we have to do this.
Just feel the Holy Spirit. Just a second. First of all, thank you. Thank you. I think we all understand that the enemy fights believers. And we don't need to ever be ashamed when you go through tough times, ever. The church is a place where we are family. We are all family here today. And can I just say this? This is something the Lord's putting on my heart. As the word instructs us, when we catch a brother or sister in a weak place, go to that brother or that sister. And as Galatians 6 says, carry that burden with them. This church will reach heights we've never reached if we'll take that one principle to heart. Stop the backbiting. Stop going behind each other's back and saying, did you hear this or did you hear that? Go to the brother or sister in the love of Christ as Christ found you. And restore them. Amen. Thank you for that. But we had our birthday party for our daughter. She's turned 6 yesterday. And we also announced that we're expecting our second baby. So very excited. Amen.
Thank you. I've been praying about that. Jay and I have been craving a new baby. So we're really excited. Thank you. Only the Holy Spirit. Only simply the Holy Spirit. There are people here today that there are things that are coming up in your life. You don't even know it. It's not even on your radar. But the Holy Spirit is going to give you some help today. He's going to fill you fresh with His Spirit. He's going to pour out upon you. And then you're going to know, oh, that's what that was about. God refreshed me because He knew I was going to see this. And you're saying, well, you're kind of making me nervous. You're making me scared. Listen, I didn't say it was bad altogether. God has got good things coming. Awesome things coming. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's harder to handle success than failure. Knowing what to do when the blessing comes. Knowing what to do when you get the breakthrough and everything, that you don't just lose it and forget God. God is looking for restoration this morning. And only by His Spirit can He do it. Only by His Spirit. I'm going to ask this morning, if anyone here, and you say, I have got to have that dunamis power. I feel weak. I feel depleted. I don't know that I can keep going forward. I'm also broken. If you've got courage, it takes a lot of courage to admit when you're broke. It takes a lot of courage to admit when you're hurting. So if anyone here this morning, this is the altar call. If you're hurting this morning and you need the Holy Spirit to touch you, would you come? Would you come now? Come now. Let Him heal you. Let Him touch you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. He's here in a special way this morning. I'm going to ask my kids if they will come behind and just start helping us pray for people. He knew you'd be here today. He wants to heal your hurt. He wants to put you together in Jesus' name. He wants to fill you fresh with His Holy Spirit. Oh, God, would you just let Him? You've got to let Him. Those of you that are sitting there this morning, will you pray for these people that have come forward? Will you let God just use you this morning to pray over people? I want to invite anybody from the prayer team to come forward and help us pray. Please come help us pray this morning. There's going to be breakthrough in these altars today. People may come in fractured. People may come in hurt, but they're going to leave healed and whole in the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. You cannot function in a broken place. You cannot minister in a broken place. You've got to have healing. It's not an option. It's not an option. I pray for a fresh anointing. I pray, oh God, for a fresh outpouring in this house. If your children are not here, get their pictures out of your purse. Get your pictures of your kids out of your purse, your grandkids, and begin to pray. Pray for them this morning. Pray for the healing.
Restoration.
altar where you're at. Come on. Jesus. There's a healer in this house this morning. There's a healer that is in this house this morning. He's restoring. He's restoring families. He's restoring your love for Him. And He's telling you how much He loves you. Praise God. Praise God. I feel His power. I feel His love in the house this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I think today was about healing. He's a healer. The Spirit of God is a healer. It's not just physical. It's emotional. It's relational. Right now, I think that everybody in the house, if you've pressed into what God offered today, I believe you should be feeling the peace of God. You feel the peace of God? Because if you don't, then come back up here and we're going to pray until you feel the peace of God. I don't want anybody leaving here in doubt that God is for you and not against you. I want you to continue to just say, Lord, keep me full of your Spirit. Keep healing me. Keep touching me, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Lord, when we think of your power, we think of miracles. And Lord, when we think of miracles, sometimes we think of things that we see, like eyes, blind eyes open and the lame walk. And we know, Lord, there's power in your name to do that. But Lord, I know there's also a power in your name to heal broken hearts and to heal broken relationships and to heal broken minds. And Lord, today I declare health and wholeness over this body. Lord, I declare that your love just flow in this house. God, such a love for one another. Lord, we need each other. Lord, we do not know what tomorrow holds or what tomorrow will be about. Lord, we're going to need, the church is going to need every member, every little child, every teenager, every adult. Lord, help us to love each other with the real love that you can put in our hearts. Lord, I praise you today and I thank you. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to you.